Hello, everyone. My name is Eli Zier. This is the Trout Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Incarnation, Mount Zion, after Trout Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 13, 2017. Or it is 8/22/2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, It Is No Secret. The charms of Tom Red off the news of another day is soon. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you knew? You may have longed for how to stray your courage to renew. Not be disheartened, for I bring hope for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, oh, in His light, you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, for Yah is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what Yah can do. What He's done for us, He'll be for you. With arms wide open, what Yah can do. Mountain of the Yahweh's House, Part 1. Start with Isaiah chapter 2. For the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hoofs. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahweh. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. The land also is full of the silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. The land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. For the land also is full of the idols, they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man doweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter ye into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Yahweh, and for the glory of his majesty. For the lofty looks of the man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Proud and lofty will be brought low. Verse 12, Isaiah 2. For the day of the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, Yahshua, shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cities of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pitches, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, unto the moles and unto the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Yeshua, this is the Son now, and for the glory of his majesty, glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for when is he to be accounted of? Okay, that brings us to the end of Isaiah chapter 2. Now let's go to Micah 4, and let's read that whole chapter. We're in for a treat, folks. Fasten your seatbelt. Micah is given the same vision about the latter days in the mountain of the house of Yahweh as Isaiah had. And Micah has this vision of peace and glory. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house, as it says, the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains. This is your Gentile Protestant churches that are fundamental, not the charismatic, but the fundamental Protestant congregation. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. What is this mountain of the house of the Yahweh? A little mountain started out as a little stone there in Daniel 2, verse 34 and 35, and 44 and 45. Started out as a little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands, in other words, hewn out of the fallen kingdom of the Seventh-day Adventist churches represented by that mountain there in Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And also in Zechariah 4, chapter 7. That mountain that's planed off is that great mountain, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of the day, Sabbath keeper. Only, not Sabbath keeper, but only singular Sabbath keeper. That's all they're recognized by. And that's why they end up falling. They didn't advance any further than that one seventh-day Sabbath given to them. They practiced that for 173 years and got weary of it. Alright, so this says in Micah 4, verse 2, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh. What's the mountain of the Yahweh? That's the house of David. That's the mountain of the house of David, the antithetical everlasting kingdom of David that's set in these last days with Yahshua sitting upon the throne You'll find that in Luke 1, 31, 32, and 33. Yahshua has come to this earth to sit up on the throne of his earthly father David, because Yahshua is described in the scriptures as the son of David. And unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And these are spiritual, holy, perfect first fruits out of the fallen congregation of the Seventh-day Adventists. They produce a pure and holy and undefiled people here in this last parabolic, 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, in the probationary time. And they've got to go get their brethren now. The 144,000, once they are harvested, they've got to go get their brethren, which is found in Isaiah 66, that are in all the islands and the nations, and they are called Gentiles, and bring to this holy mountain. It says so in Isaiah 66. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Yahshua the host has spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his Elohim, and we will walk, or in the name of his God, that's a pagan term for Baal, or Satan even. That's a title for Satan or Baal. But we will walk in the name of the Yahweh, our Elohim, or Yahshua, our Savior, forever and ever. And that day said to Yahshua, Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O Tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in the travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in the travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Yahweh shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee. They say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall give them as a sheaf into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Yahweh, and their substance unto the Yahshua, the king of Israel of the whole earth. Now let's do a little review of what I just read in Micah 4. It says, in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain, singular possessive, one mountain, the house of everlasting kingdom of the David, purified, with 144,000 being the first fruits, prophets, priests, and kings that have been called to sit upon thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Of the house of Yahweh shall be established at the top of the mountains, top of all of the churches of the world. All of them. Not just your basic fundamental policies, but all of them. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. People are going to flow unto it. Where are they going to flow out from? They're going to flow out of all these fallen churches. These Gentile Protestant fallen churches all over the world. They're going to flow out of there into this mountain of the house of Yahweh. Okay. And it says there in verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. So this is the house of David, is the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. That's Adam's dominion. So there's going to have to be some resurrection take place all the way back to Adam. And when it is, righteous Adam will come forth with his wife Eve and Abel. Abel and Seth, his two sons. Cain won't be there. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Yahushua. So the kingdom of heaven is going to come. It says it's going to come. Where is it coming from? It's coming down from heaven. Coming to the everlasting kingdom of David here on earth. And when that kingdom of heaven comes down, then it's called the kingdom of heaven. That is sit up in the throne of David. With Yahshua sit upon the throne of David. Luke 1:31, 32, 33. Now, isn't that very good? In Daniel chapter 2, we're going to continue our theme, the mountain of the house of Yahweh. We'll start with verse 1, Daniel 2. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and then the second year of the reign of the Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans unto the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. But the king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. He answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. Oh yeah, they had prepared sermons, didn't they? Well, the king answered and said, I know of the certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words for the speaking before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. For the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter, and therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, or astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 10, for the Chaldeans answered before the king, and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Okay. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the God whose dwelling is not with the flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom unto Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went unto his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Elohim of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of Elohim forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou Yahweh of my father, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now that what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matters. Daniel interprets the dream. Therefore the Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the king, or the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the seersers show unto the king? But there is an Elohim in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came on into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known unto thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed unto me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake they shall make known the interpretation unto the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness is excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of the fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without the hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of the iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broke into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, this is a prophecy for the latter days, the days that we're in now. This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, king, art a king of the kings, for the Elohim of the heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. A hidden king is represented by gold. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee. And that kingdom is represented by silver. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That was Alexander, you know, the Greek. The kingdom that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar was Cyrus and Darius, the Medes and the Persian king, Cyrus. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. This is your pagan Rome at the cross. Imperial Rome, we call it. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all this shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the mire clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the mire clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, that's in the last days that we're in now, shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom. What's that kingdom? What is that kingdom? It's the kingdom of David, with Yahshua his son, sitting upon the throne of David. Come to reign until he puts all enemies under his footstool, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and let it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. For the king answered unto Daniel, said, of a truth it is that your Elohim is an Elohim of gods and a sovereign of kings and a revealer of the secret, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. And the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Just do a little review now of what we just read here in Daniel chapter 2. There was 49 verses, or key verses. It is found in 34 and 35. It says, thou sawest tell that a stone, was cut out without the hands, or smote the image upon his feet that were of the iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Now this image owns, this is antypical Nebuchadnezzar's image, and that image belongs to, according to Revelation 13, the image of the beast, also called the image of the beast, Revelation 13. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise above the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto the death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Okay, this is the same beast we just read about right here in Daniel chapter 2. So it says that in Revelation 13 verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. So that wounded head represents the Catholic Church. Okay, it says one of his heads. This is one of the beast's heads. The beast is Satan. He's the dragon. The old red dragon is a symbol of this beast that represents the New World Order, the One World Government. All right, and they worship the beast. Revelation 13:4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Okay, the dragon, which is Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and the beast represents the world power of Babylon, and they worship the beast sin, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So this beast turns him to be a man. It says so right there in Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. So a beast is represented by a man here on earth, a Satan incarnate. Alright, let's go back now to our review in Daniel 2. We'll go to verse 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, talking about those ten horns on that beast that are symbols of all the kingdoms of the world, they were called ten kings, and they're a symbol of all the kingdoms of the world that worships this beast, the New World Order. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom, and this is the everlasting kingdom of David. It says so in many, many places there in the scripture. It talks about it there in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 34. It talks about it in a lot of other places, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people. So when Yahweh set up this everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, when that kingdom comes to the daughter of Jerusalem, Micah 4:8, and it says, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, talking about all of these evil, wicked kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Then it goes on here in verse Daniel 2:45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain, without the hands, and let it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king, which shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Okay. So the dream is certain, the interpretation is sure. And as it says in Job 32:8, it says, but there's a spirit man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And we might just turn to that and read it if we can hurry to get to it. Job 32. It says, but there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So the inspiration of the Father through His Spirit gives His servants, His prophets, understanding. They have to have understanding of these prophecies, and that comes through the gift of inspiration. Now we look at 2 Timothy 2:13-14. We might learn something there about inspiration. It says, maybe it's 2 Timothy 3:16-15. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, that's the teaching of the truth, for a reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, this word godliness is supposed to be a synonymous term with the word righteousness. And for the people that don't use the sacred name, yes, they use it for that. But the word righteousness, perfection, holiness, sanctification, purification, perfection, those all go together. Okay, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. That the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, we're rolling right along here. Once again, now let's do a little review on this here. House, mountain of the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that's the days that we're in now, that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. All church organizations all over the world, all Gentile churches, all sects, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Scientology, and you name it, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations, shall flow unto it. Well, it's got to have a headwaters location somewhere, and that's at Jerusalem. That's where the mountain of the house of Yahweh is going to be established, in the top of the mountains at Jerusalem, the kingly palace crown of typical David. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go up into the mountain of the Yahweh, to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. There it is right there. Okay, that's in Isaiah 56:7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now this is for Jew and Gentile alike, because they're going to all be amalgamated together into one people here in the last days. The whole chapter of Isaiah 56 bears this out. You go to verse 1 of Isaiah 56, read the whole chapter. Thus says Yahweh, keep his judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Now to let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself unto the Yahweh speak, saying, the Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. So this time about the son of the stranger, this is your Gentile. Because Yahweh's people, he said, my people is Israel. And the Gentiles are also my people, but they have to come through their brethren, the Israelites, to be saved. Say so right there in Isaiah 56:3. Now to let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself unto the Yahweh, the Father, speak, saying, for the Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Now to let the eunuch say, and behold, I am a dry tree. Verse 4, Isaiah 56. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuch, that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. And now it's calling these Gentiles eunuchs. And people, anyone outside of the boundaries of Israel, or outside the bloodline or the genealogy of Israel, they're called strangers, they're called Gentiles, they're called eunuchs, and so forth. So it says here in Isaiah 56:4, for this saith Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Now look at this. You got two key words here, Sabbath, with an S on it. All of his holy days, you'll find those holy days all listed in Leviticus 23. Talking about the Passover, the Pentecost, the Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and all your 12 new moons a year. Those are all called Sabbaths. And my covenant, you go to Leviticus 26:14-15, he said, and if you break my covenant, that you don't keep my statutes and judgments and precepts and all that I've commanded you, but that you break my covenant, he said, I will also break my covenant with you. You won't break my covenant, I'll break mine. Mine is made up of all these statutes and judgments, all these Sabbaths and so forth. Even unto them will I give in my house within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. So now here's Yahweh telling these Gentiles, these eunuchs, these strangers, the son of the stranger that come and join themselves with Yahweh, and unto the house of Yahweh, the house of Jacob. The house of Yahweh in the last days is the house of Jacob. It's the house of David. Same thing. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of the Yahweh, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the feast Sabbath, talking about the seventh day Sabbath, from polluting it and taketh the whole of my covenant, and his covenant includes all of those Sabbaths. Psalms 89:34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that's going out of my lips. What covenant is that? My covenant that I made with Noah by the rainbow as a token. The covenant that I made with Abraham by circumcision by a token that I have set aside there. Those that obey and keep all my Sabbaths, I make my covenant with. He never made no covenant with the Gentile nations, folks. The only way that the Gentile nations can benefit from this everlasting covenant of Yahweh unto Israel is for them to come and join and lay a hold of the Yahweh through the house of Israel and lay a hold of Yahweh's covenant. Then he'll bring them to his holy mountain and give them a great and glorious name that shall not be cut off. You can, and they will participate in all the blessings that normally belongs by promise and covenant to the house of Israel. The Gentiles can have a privilege to be equal sharers of the blessings that come for obedience unto his covenant. Isaiah 56:7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. For the Yahweh Elohim, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others unto him. Who is these others? That's your Gentile brethren. Says so right there. Paul says so right there in Ephesians chapter 2 and Isaiah 66 and many other places, besides those that are gathered unto him. And ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest, yeah, because of the judgment. You have to have judgment first before you can bring forth a remnant or an harvest of Jew or Gentile. You have to have a judgment first. They have to come to the judgment. And if they don't tag on and identify with Yahweh's holy days so that they can be sanctified, purified, and made white, well then they can't hope to have anything to do with eternal life. Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look unto their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine. We will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Okay, there you have it right there. That's the whole chapter of Isaiah 56. Now let's go see if we have any more related verses identifying with the mountain of the house of Yahweh. And looks like Isaiah 66 is verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren, this is your Gentiles, for an offering unto the Yahweh, out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules, and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain. That's the mountain of the house of Yahweh, in Jerusalem, saith the Yahweh, and the children of Israel shall bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Yahweh. This is into the everlasting kingdom of heaven that set up here on earth. That's a synonymous term of the everlasting kingdom of David, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David in this earthly, heavenly kingdom that has been co-joined with the kingdom of David here in these last days. It says so right there in Ezekiel 37 prophecy. It says there's two sticks of Ephraim and Judah are joined together. And they're no longer divided into two kingdoms, but they become one great kingdom of Israel. And they're brought to his holy mountain in Jerusalem, and this is where they become prophets, priests, and kings. They become ruling governors of the Yahweh's government set up here on this earth. That will not only bring in the living remnant that comes through the judgment, but also the resurrection of the righteous that are at hand to be resurrected. Folks, you're going to have a transformation of this earth. You're going to have a complete new look. And so Yahweh knows this. He sent his son there in Zechariah chapter 4 to split that Mount of Olives, split it in the middle. Part of it goes toward the north, part goes to south, and it should become a very great plain down to the middle, going east and west, and it covers the whole land of Israel, and it goes all the way around the world. So the world is going to be transformed. It says in Jeremiah 26:18, Micah, the Shahite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake unto all the people of the Judah, saying, thus saith the Yahshua, this is the son of the host. Who is the host? These are your remnant that are harvested, both of Jew and Gentile, that are called now righteous saints. They have come into holiness, sanctification, perfection, and they have come into the bond of the covenant as Ezekiel 20 verse 37. They have come into the bond of the covenant. They come under the rod, authority for Yahweh's government. They have passed under the rod and into the bond of the covenant. And it says that after they do that, he says, Yahweh says, I'm going to purge out the rebels from among you, and they shall die in the wilderness, and they will not enter into the land of Israel. That's talking about the sinner, the one that will refuse to become perfect, refuse to be purified by the blood of Yahshua. And that right there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, for the true witness, Yahshua, he said, we're sanctified by his blood, by the spirit of washing, for washing away all our sins. Like a field, and Yahushua shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Ezekiel 20:40. For in mine holy mountain, and the mountain of the height of Israel, in Jerusalem, saith Yahweh Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, and all of them in the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblation, with all your holy things. Ezekiel 43:12. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. For the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy, behold, this is the law of the house. Amos 6:1. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. Now, what's that mountain of Samaria? That's where when the 10 tribes split from the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the south, and Israel back in their day. They split, and Jeroboam, the king of the 10 tribes, took them and went north to Samaria and set Samaria as their capital. And he took 2 golden calves and set them up and said, these be the gods that delivered you out of Egypt, and therefore they're... So it says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. In other words, that mountain where the 2 golden calves are at, which are named chief of the nations, unto whom the house of the Israel came. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Micah 4:1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted by the hill, and people shall flow unto it. Micah 4:2, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem. Haggai 1:8, go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Yahweh. That's in Haggai. Let's read the whole chapter of Haggai and close out our sermon. Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Yahweh by the Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of the Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying. Now this here, second year of Darius, you'll find them also there in Daniel chapter 6 about Darius and Daniel. Verse 2 of Haggai. Thus speaketh the Yahshua of the host, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Yahshua's house should be built. Well, I'm saying that the Yahweh's house is time for it to be built right now, starting right now. The Gentiles are trying to get something going, especially the fundamental Baptists that are very good doctrinal people. They're working very hard at this to start Yahweh's house. And in Haggai 1:3, then came the word of Yahweh by the Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Tis a time for you, O ye, to dwell in your ceiling houses, and this house flyways. Now therefore thus saith Yahshua the host, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with the drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Haggai 1:7. Thus saith Yahshua the host, the Son, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. What mountain? The mountain of the house of Yahweh, that's in the top of Jerusalem, in Israel, and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith Yahweh. Haggai 1:9. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith Yahweh of Yahshua the host? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruits. Haggai 1:11. Now I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Haggai 1:12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest of all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Yahweh the Elohim and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh the Elohim had sent him, and the people did fear before the Yahweh. Then spake Haggai the Yahweh's messenger, and the Yahweh's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Yahweh. And the Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of Yahshua of the host, their Savior. Haggai 1:15. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of the Darius, the king. That's when all that started. This brings in verse 3, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11, and click on our audios for to hear this message and more. We are going to close now with a song. We gather together. We gather together to rest beyond the sea. He chastened and hastened it well to make known the wicked oppressing, the seas from distressing, and praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us together, are all with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, the yaw was at our side, the glory divine. We are the extolling, the leader in battle, and pray that thou still, O defender, wilt be, that thy congregation escape tribulation, and may be ever praised.